What's up, 10 and J-Man Show Nation? It is Monday night. It's June 9th, 2025. Brand new episode of the 10 and J-Man Show, episode 447 to be exact, closing in on another big milestone of 450. I'm Tanner Lee, co-host Just the J-Man Munt is back in the house this week. We missed you, J-Man.
Yeah, I miss being here. Another, you know, round of applause for two biggie. For filling in last week, as he always does, a magnificent job.
He doesn't do too bad. He doesn't do too bad.
But he's a seasoned vet at this point.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. That's a good way to put it. But we're going to be joined here momentarily by Travis Watchering, who is the J-Man's Booker Prediction Week sponsor and has been for many years now. Almost since the start of our podcast, but he's one of the biggest Pacer fans I know. I believe he's a part-time season ticket holder. I'll have him confirm that when he's on. I know if not, he goes to a lot of games. And so I thought, you know, the Pacers in the NBA Finals having this magical little run might be fun to have him on and talk on the pod. But it's been a while since we've done a any sort of three-man pod.
Yeah, I would venture to say he is the biggest Pacer fan I know. Seems like he's there about every week. He has a game he goes to. Yeah. If they're at home. So, yeah, get his expertise. Series is tied at a game apiece now, and it's Pacers. Man, they're on this little run, as you said. Feel like a team of destiny with all these comeback wins. But we'll get into that when he gets on the show here.
Yeah, yeah. So, and he's also, and I'll let him talk about his fandom. But he's also got a few other teams that he's a pretty big fan of, and we might get around to talking about one of them. The other one probably not so much, since it's in June. It's not August or September, but we'll see. So he should be joining us momentarily. He said he was had a client meeting that just ended around six, so he was heading home, hurrying home. I told him no worries, join when you can.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, but I did bring some birdie bogey, and it is an NFL question, actually. You might have seen this today on the Twitter, because I saw it on the Twitter. Mm-hmm. There is one quarterback in the NFL that has had a 100 passer rating or better in each of the last three seasons. Can you name that quarterback?
No.
100 or better passer rating in each of the last three seasons. Only one quarterback's done it.
That's surprising.
That quarterback. J-Man's Book of Predictions. I got Book It on the brain because Travis is joining us. Birdie or Bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House for a good food, casual atmosphere, great cocktails, located at 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana.
They had a special over the weekend that was right up your alley, J-Man. Smoked prime rib.
Oh, man.
With the choice of sides. So
I've had their smoked prime rib, and it is delectable.
Yeah, the picture of it. And I just got done eating dinner before this podcast, but the picture of it makes me hungry all over again.
Yeah.
So
I actually just got done eating steak right before this show. And, you know, you throw a good old 16-ounce of prime rib on my plate, I'd probably eat at least 3/4 of it right now, I bet. Dip there it in some, some horseradish sauce. And, yeah, call me Jimmy.
And this past Thursday, they had a Taco Thursday. So they had a happy hour going on from 4 to 5, and they had half off all appetizers and $3 off of adult beverages. So
a big taco guy, too.
So and every Wednesday they're having ramen. So they're really, they're wheeling and dealing over there at Arlington Public House. So make sure you're following them on Facebook for all of their latest updates and what they're offering. So.
They are very versatile. Got all sorts of different cuisines there at Arlington, so go check them out.
They do. Can't go wrong with whatever you get there. You're gonna enjoy your meal, enjoy the service, enjoy the atmosphere, all that good stuff you like in a good restaurant. So, yes. But while we wait for Travis, anything you want to jump into right away?
I got nothing. It's gonna be an interesting one tonight. So I got nothing.
Well, I told Travis, you know, we're probably going to be talking, of course, NBA Finals, some MLB, some U.S. Open golf, since that's going on this week. So,
Matthew Vogt, book it.
But well, we just lost a loyal listener there. But in all honesty, I get why he's a national story.
Oh, for sure. I mean,
talk about a kid who did play some college golf and then for one reason or another, stopped playing college golf and is an everyday dentist now. And I mean, anybody who qualifies for the U.S. Open who's not a professional, it's a pretty cool story usually. But
pretty dang good golfer too.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Because the qualifying sites aren't the easiest either. And of course, the courses for the U.S. Open are set up just stupidly hard, especially this year. Oakmont, I think it was Ben Griffith, who's been playing really good on the PGA Tour lately. He was interviewed by somebody the last few days, and he said, if you could give me the final score of the weekend and tell me I'm going to shoot 4 over par for the whole tournament, he goes, I think I'm in contention.
Man, yeah.
That's how tough they're saying this setup is.
This is the tourney where they like the winner to be around even, right?
Around even, yeah. And, I mean, there's a par 3 that's playing 300 yards, and I believe Rory in a practice round took a quadruple bogey on it.
I've not been playing Adam very Scott, well anyways, though.
No, he hasn't been. Adam Scott, the front nine, it made him look like a fool. So it's going to be interesting. But we'll save the U.S. Open talk and predictions for later on. But we do want to welcome Travis Watchering to the podcast. I need to change the overlay as all of a sudden it is covering our heads.
Blocking my face.
Yes. Bad. But while I work on that, Travis, welcome to the pod and thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. I was looking forward to it. I saw you over the weekend and thought it'd be a good time to hop on and talk some Pacers.
Yeah, we were talking at the start before you hopped on. You're probably the biggest Pacer fan we know. And correct me if I'm wrong. Are you a season ticket holder or a part-time season ticket holder? Or do you just go to a lot of games?
So a buddy and I split a full season. So, okay. Yeah, so we have access, which is amazing, to the playoffs when they do, you know, make it and make these runs. It makes the prices tremendously cheaper than what we people see online and buy off Ticketmaster or StubHub or whatever it is.
Sure. So there's a good chance you're going to be in the field house sometime this week, right?
I'll be there Wednesday, game 3.
Nice.
Taking my brother with me, so he owes me.
Oh, that'll be great. That'll be great for both of you. And another, yes, and your brother Nate, who's been a guest on the show, I don't know, a handful of years ago, probably now. He's a big Pacer fan as well. And you guys are loyal Pacer fans. I mean, you've been through the ups and downs. You're not just jumping on the bandwagon the last 2 years.
I was talking to one of my buddies. I was like, it almost makes me upset that like there's so many fans now because they weren't there when Troy Murphy and Travis Diener and Mike Dunleavy were starting.
Oh.
And we had to live through that and still going to games, still cheering for them. So, I mean, I'm kidding though. It's absolutely amazing. And going like downtown, even when they're away or you're not in the stadium, is something I've never seen before. The restaurants and bars are all showing it, and the atmosphere. Feel like at a restaurant or bar downtown, it feels like you're in the stadium. It's crazy how loud and how much people get into it.
Yeah, and it the whole state's been a buzz. I know up here in Fort Wayne where I live, I've seen more Pacer gear being worn out in public the last 2 weeks than I've seen the last 3 years.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is it's finally something to cheer for in the state of Indiana on the basketball side. I think a lot of people forget that, hey, we are a basketball state. So let's finally cheer for something that they got going on.
And I'll throw in on the professional side because I do think there's been one college team that's been pretty good.
Nah, no.
but in saying that, I mean, everybody can get on board in the state for a professional team, whereas college is always going to be split between two or three programs. So,
yeah, four, no, absolutely.
Four programs for college basketball, I guess.
Purdue's been very, very good. But no, like you said it best right there. It doesn't matter if you're Purdue, Butler, IU, Notre Dame, everybody, to my knowledge, is loving the Pacers.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been fun to watch. I do wish Fox Sports Indiana would expand their reach a little more. Like I don't get it up here in Fort Wayne. So unless they're on ESPN during the regular season, I don't get to watch them very much. So that's been a joy to me there in the playoffs, is just getting to watch all the games and seeing the exciting brand of basketball they do play.
I guarantee you this run will help expand more towards Fort Wayne. It seems like it should anyway, right?
Should.
And I mean, I know it's a different, you know, boys, girls, but I think the Fever are kind of doing the same thing. They're just getting the love of basketball back to both sides, whether it's WNBA or NBA, where let people watch it. It's frustrating. You know, even switching sports, like I can't watch the Reds sometimes, or, you know, the Colts might. It's like, what are we doing? We're in the state of Indiana. Let us watch our teams.
Right. Right.
There's a very good reason why they don't want you to watch the Reds.
That's the last thing I want to watch right now. And I'm sure we'll talk baseball, and I can't wait for it.
We're going to have to talk baseball a little bit. Got to let J-Man take some shots.
Yeah.
Wait, they're back to 500. I can't ask for much more right now.
But going back to the Pacers, what's different about this year's team than even last year's team, in your opinion?
I think the biggest thing from last year to this year is they've been together now for a couple years in a row, and they're no longer they have experience. Carlisle, I know he's been here for a couple years, and same with Siakam, but just you can tell with the leadership and the experience from their championship runs, it's showing. I think Halliburton has some stuff to prove, being the most overrated player in the NBA. So I think just like their experience is the biggest thing that I've seen. They're no longer out there scared, nervous. That, you know, that Boston series last year in the Eastern Conference Finals, they were winning essentially almost every minute of the game except for the last 4 minutes in every game, and they end up getting swept. So we're not seeing much of that at all this year in the playoffs. They're actually playing like the big boys they are and taking over a lot of games, and with some amazing comebacks, of course.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I don't think anybody out there can argue they've been the better team every series so far. And like you said, I mean, look at the teams they've knocked off. They've knocked off the Bucks, who are the fifth seed. You know, fourth, fifth seed, that's usually a toss-up. Knocked off the Cavs, who are the one seed in the Eastern Conference. Were they the best team? No, in my opinion, that was the Celtics entering the playoffs. But, you know, the Cavs were the one seed. Then they knocked off the Knicks, who were the three seed. And, you know, who have been – really, the Pacers have been a thorn in their side. But, I mean, it's been a nice rivalry going back to the 90s. Yeah, this wasn't a fluke that they made the finals.
No, yeah, it's what you just said. It's nice getting that rivalry back. I remember it's like, all right, would you rather play Boston or New York? And it's like, I think right now I'd rather play Boston because, you know, Tatum's banged up, and I'll let Derek White and Jaylen Brown try to beat us, who are two very, very good guards, some of the best guards in the NBA, but they didn't really scare me. It's like, I'd rather beat the Knicks, but I don't want to lose to the Knicks. It was like, I don't know which one I'd rather play, but it's fun getting that Pacers-Knicks, you know, rivalry back in full force, it feels like.
I remember telling J-Man on one of our episodes before Tatum got hurt and before the series was decided between the Knicks and Celtics, I said, as a Pacer fan, I would be more okay losing to the Celtics than the Knicks. But at the time before Tatum got hurt, I was like, I'd rather play the Knicks. So I thought they were more beatable when Tatum was healthy than the Celtics were. So
I'm not just, they're very good. Brunson's one of the best guards in the league, but the New York just never scared me. I'm not saying that we should have beat them 4-0 or 4, whatever it was, 4-2, obviously, but like outside of Brunson, like Cat is good, but Josh Hart doesn't scare me. OG's a roller coaster. So I was confident against them the entire series.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you never want to go to the Garden and play game seven. So I'm very thankful we won game six. But I thought the Pacers were the better team from start to finish, as you said earlier, in essentially every series.
I also think Thibodeau's, you know, his strategy of playing, you know, all of his players 48 minutes a game caught up to him. And that's probably part of the reason why he got canned. He did it in Chicago. He did it in Minnesota. I mean, he has a way of, I mean, Josh Hart was playing 48 to even 50 minutes a game if they went into overtime. And that's just not sustainable. And it caught up to him definitely by, you know, game six of the Eastern Conference Finals.
And that's something else I'll add as well. I should have mentioned this earlier, but I mean, as anybody knows, the Pacers, they run 9-10 guys, and yes, there's sometimes, and I'll tweet it, there's some lineups that I'm so upset that Carlisle just keeps running back to, because it just feels like, all right, Halliburton's been on the bench for 8 minutes, 7 minutes, put him in the game. But man, it's the Electra, you know, what TJ can do off the bench, the spark plug, and Obi, obviously. Mathurin can, the roller coaster. But yeah, the bench is deep and he's not afraid to play 9 or 10 players. So you're not going to get guys playing more than, I think, like 32, 34 minutes a game for the most part.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing to me, this Pacers team, even compared to last year, there's just so much deeper, so much deeper. Yeah. Everybody's contributing. I mean, even, and this is coming from a Purdue guy, even Thomas Bryant's been a key contributor these playoffs. And I didn't see that coming, to be honest.
No, I mean, because Jairus Walker, he was getting a lot of minutes towards the end of the regular season. Thomas was playing here or there, but yeah, he's running 9-10 deep. Thomas Bryant's threes, you know, I'm always, me and Miles Turner, he doesn't know this, but we have a love-hate relationship. And,
I think every Pacer fan's right there with you.
And I'm sometimes the same, you know, the same boat with Thomas Bryant. It's like, get your 6'10 body into the paint and rebound and dunk the ball.
Stop shooting threes.
But they don't miss. I mean, yes, they miss, but you know what I mean. They're shooting, you know, Miles is shooting 4, 5, 6 threes a game sometime, making 2 of them usually. And Thomas is, he's capable of doing the same thing. It's crazy. And the NBA has obviously changed over time. It's center dominant down low. There's not a lot of teams that have that anymore.
No, not at all. And I'll pose this question to you guys. I mean, I know we still got a lot of series left to play here. It's tied at 1-1. But regardless if the Pacers win the championship and become NBA champions, or if they lose, do you think Indianapolis could become more of a destination for free agents the next couple of years? Because I got to think they're not going anywhere. I think most of the core is going to stay in Indianapolis, and they're going to be a force to be reckoned with the next few years in the Eastern Conference, at least.
I think so. I mean, yeah, there's some contracts. There's some decisions have to be made. Obviously, is Miles Turner going to get his? I mean, he's always been a trade talk for essentially his entire career. They have to make a decision with Neesmith coming up. But I think it's hard to, you know, that what they've done the last 2 years, it's like, why would you want to leave? But, you know, maybe you take a little bit less money. I don't think that, you know, the Pacers are never been a team to go out and get that big, big superstar. In the last couple of years, obviously Siakam's been, and he's towards the latter part of his career, he's been one of the biggest ones. Obviously outside of like Halliburton, but he was 2 years in when we got him. But no, I think Tyrese is an answer to what your question is. I don't know why you wouldn't want to go play with him. I mean, he's a point guard that's going to get you he's a pass first point guard. He's going to get you the ball, and the dude is a electrifying, is a spark. But I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. I love this core. I would love to see this team run it back again, no matter if they win the championship or lose in the finals. They've clearly improved both to, you know, all 2-3 years together.
What's Hallie's contract situation? Because he's got to be getting close to being due for like a max deal at some point.
Halliburton, I don't know that he just got paid.
Oh, he did? Okay.
Yeah, he just got paid. Do you know what it was, Tanner? I know it was a lot of money.
It was a lot. It was just a year ago, maybe. Let me see here.
5 years, $245 million.
Yeah.
That's a bargain at this point.
Yeah, it's true.
And he was born in the year 2000. My gosh.
Gross, isn't it?
But what do you think, J-Man? Do you think this like day and age in the NBA and now 2025, do you think market size is that big a deal for free agents as it was maybe 5 to 10 years ago with all this money being thrown around now?
No. I mean, I think money talks, and I don't know why anyone would have an issue with going to play for the Indiana Pacers, you know, with, as you said, Tyrese Halliburton is one of the, if not the best point guard in the NBA right now. And, I mean, we see two very small markets in an NBA Finals. Right. It took both a while to kind of rebuild and get there, especially Oklahoma City after getting rid of, you know, Westbrook and Durant and Paul George. But Sam Presti did it right, and it shows that you can have these superstar level talent and keep superstar level talent in these small markets, and you can supplement them with some really good players. So I don't know why we couldn't see, you know, big time free agents. Now I'm not talking like a LeBron or anything like that. Sure. But big time free agents go to these smaller market teams.
You're always going to have your certain guys who want to go to the big markets, sure. The New York, you know, the Knicks, the Lakers, even the Clippers, even though they're the Clippers, but they're in LA. But there's a lot of guys who don't want that pressure either. Yeah. And you can get paid just as much now at, like you said, in Oklahoma City or in Indiana as you can at some of those other spots. So I don't think it's near as big a deal as it was 5 to 10 years ago.
It finally starting to feel like you don't have to have that, you know, that super team to compete for an NBA championship. And I do think though the Thunder stick together as young and talented they are, right. Like they almost seem like the next Spurs or something like that. I mean, mm-hmm. if Chet's probably only going to get better, Williams is probably only going to get better. And I mean, they still have some first round draft picks. What did the Clippers do for that? The Paul George thing is just disgusting, by yeah. the way. And they're finally seeing the realm of it. But man, they're good. They're young and really good.
Well, yeah, it's kind of funny. You know, both of these teams, you're seeing some results from the Paul George trades for both teams result in both teams being here in the finals. So, you know, and I was a Paul George guy. You can ask Jay, man, I was a Paul George guy when he was in Indiana, but looking back on it.
He got, I mean, well, what he did towards the end, I get it, but he gave all he had inside of him for the Beat the Heat series. I mean, I don't want to say single-handedly got us there, but he was a lot of it. I mean, sure. That team was special as well. Nothing like this team, in my opinion, obviously, but Paul George gave a lot to Indy. It sucked the way he left Indy, though, is from, you know, all the rumors that were that were told.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's a good point you made, Travis. They ran into those LeBron Heat teams. I mean, that was kind of the history, the notion of the Pacers in with their good teams is either run into MJ or run into LeBron,
yeah,
or running into a Laker team that had a young Kobe and a Shaq still in his prime. So,
yeah, I was talking to my brother about that a couple of days ago, and he literally remembers that. I don't remember any of that 2000 series. I mean, without going to, I knew we lost 4-2. I knew Kobe and Shaq were as dominant as probably ever, but without like going to like Google or YouTube, I don't remember watching any of those games. So it's special 25 years later, having the opportunity sure. and living down here, downtown Indy, to be so close to it all. The atmosphere is it's crazy.
And it was so close to being Blazers Pacers in 2000, but the Blazers choked a 15-point lead in the fourth quarter away to the Lakers, and maybe we're sitting here and maybe the Pacers have been NBA champs in their history and in the last 25 years, but that wasn't the case. And you brought up, it's been 25 years, it's been a long time coming for a lot of Pacer fans. I mean, what do you think the atmosphere is going to be like Wednesday? It's got to be do you think it'll be the best sporting atmosphere you personally have ever experienced?
I don't see how it won't be. But I can confidently tell you, I was lucky to go to some playoff games last year. I was at the game where Andrew Nembhard hit the game winner over the Knicks. And it was at that point, the loudest I've ever heard the stadium. And then literally it was game one to start the playoffs against the Bucks. It wasn't anything, you know, there was no heroic moments or anything, but then now that was the loudest I've ever heard it. And then I was there the night of the 500 with my dad. And then that was the loudest I've ever heard. So it's, I say no, but the answer is yes. It just keeps gratting. It's crazy to think what can, you know, what else can happen? How much louder can it get? Because you're standing for 60%, 70% of the game. I mean, just a normal 2-point layup, you're screaming. I mean, it's crazy. It's fun. So I think Wednesday will be the loudest I've ever heard it, which is hard to believe.
I've went to one NBA playoff game, and it was, I think, 04. It's either 03 or 04. I think it was 04, game one, Eastern Conference Finals, Pacers Pistons, and the Pacers won a tight one. I remember Reggie hit a three with like under 10 seconds to go to seal the game, and he only had like 5 points that night. You know, he was kind of on the back, very back end of his career, but everybody, the boom, boom sticks when those were popular. Like those things and annoy everybody around you. But that atmosphere was rocking, and that was, you know, 21 years ago. So I can't imagine what the field house is going to be like on Wednesday night.
And that's another shoulda, woulda, coulda, you know, argument is, could that have been a Pacers championship run without the little Malice at the Palace action?
Well, I absolutely think so. I think that was the most talented Pacer team in history, even though it was November. Yeah. I mean, it's very early on. A lot could happen, but that team was going to be pretty good. But, and you know, we could also go down rabbit hole, and what if Reggie lays it in? instead of trying to, or dunks, excuse me, dunks it instead of trying to lay it in.
So Prince couldn't block him. Yeah. It's,
yeah, should have, would have, could have.
It's exciting. I mean, obviously, I have the Colts who won the Super Bowl in 2006. I've seen two Notre Dame football championship games, but we're going to say I think they had a chance in one of them. The 2012 was not really fun to watch. my Cincinnati Reds, big Reds fan, every last couple of years, you think they have chances to make runs, and then they're just pathetic. Not fun to watch. And so the Pacers is all I have going for me. So it's an exciting time.
Yeah, absolutely. And they stole game one. Let's be honest. They stole game one. They had no business winning game one, but the heroics of Tyrese Halliburton, what is Tyrese Halliburton late in games, and the Pacers when they're down double digits with 5 minutes or so to go, found a way to pull that one out. And you knew going into last night, and I know you and I briefly talked about it yesterday in the parking lot of the Round Barn Golf Club in Rochester. We knew it was going to be difficult last night. I mean, nothing surprised me. What happened last night? The Thunder are too good of a team to not lay an egg, because they didn't lay an egg game one, but they're too good of a team not to come out fired up right after a loss like that. And I had a feeling it was going to be double digit loss. I thought the Pacers would be a little more competitive than they were last night, but I don't think it's all doom and gloom as a lot of the indie media is trying to say it is right now.
Yeah, I mean, if you look back at every series, and I'm hoping last night was the one game, Halliburton's had a dud game every series, and you're just like, shoot the ball, score, drive, do something, literally do something. And yes, he ended up having 17 last night, I believe it was 17, but it wasn't a real 17. He had, you know, two or three shot attempts at halftime, 5 points, and the game was already, you know, you could read the writing on the wall. But yeah, going back to what you said, we stole game one, and that's four times we've said that throughout a series is they should not have won so many of these games, but the team, you know, you can tell there's a fight in them, but when they do lose these games, like last night, I didn't see that or feel that fight at all. Like there was, even after the first quarter, I think they were down four, but it just still felt like it was a game they were going to lose. And like you said, talking in the parking lot, please don't lose by more than 20 or 15. And I think it ended up being 16 on the dot, but you know, what I kept telling myself today was like, or people were texting me, my phone blows up during Pacer games. And it's like, hey, they did their job. They won one of the road games, the first two. And I think that was your book in a couple nights ago when you were on with
it. I said they'd take game one.
Yeah. And that's what it's like, hey, they did their job. They won one of the games. Not who cares, but it was a successful road trip.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was about to say. Like with the doom and gloom, I mean, they just split on the road against the best team in the NBA in the NBA finals. You can't really complain about that, can you?
No.
People still find a way though.
Oh, they do. And yeah, one of my buddies who's a big Pacer fan was texting me that this morning. He was all ticked off. He's like, the Indy media is already writing the Pacers off. Like, it's doom and gloom today. I'm like, I don't know why. I mean, they did what they're supposed to do. Grab one of two in OKC, see what happens in game three and four. Travis, would you take a split in games three and four right now and have it 2-2 going back to Oklahoma City game five?
You have to. I mean, Josh just said, you're playing the best team in the NBA. Right. I'll take 2-2, and then go to OKC, see what happens game five. You're automatically getting that game six. I mean, every win is now another opportunity to play extra basketball. So I think 2-2 is considered a win when this series was supposed to end, 4-0 or 5-1 according to Vegas.
Yes, and all the national media. And, correct. You know, Stephen A., I don't even watch First Take, but, of course, scrolling on the phones, algorithm picks it up, and I saw Stephen A. bashing Tyrese Halliburton today, and I just rolled my eyes. I'm like, he's been sitting on it just waiting to be able to take his opportunity. I'm like, good, give him more fire, because whenever the media gives him something to – they complain about him or gives him something to get fired up about, he responds. So
it feels like he takes every single one of those comments and screenshots them or keeps them in his phone, because he always, every time it's happened the whole playoffs, he's responded. And I'm expecting a very big game from him Wednesday at home. The atmosphere is going to be crazy. I feel like him and Miles especially Miles. I feel like they always just play better at home. I mean, as you should, with 20,000 people sitting there cheering for you. It's gonna be fun. But yeah, Tyrese is he responds to all those critics, and I love when he brings it up. I mean, he'll tweet overrate that, or I mean, he'll bring up just all that nonsense that he hears. But he's had one heck of a playoff run so far.
If you had to pick,
or Tyrese, I said Miles, obviously.
Yeah, that's all right. If you had to pick one guy out of these two to have the ball in their hands with under 20 seconds to go, chance to win a game, you taking Reggie Miller or Tyrese Halliburton?
I mean, it has to be Reggie, right? I mean, I was young during Reggie's prime, but I'm no fool. I have been a Pacer my whole life. I still remember a lot of his games. What Tyrese has done for these four is unbelievable. But Reggie is, I mean, he was silly back in the day. I think, though, you asked me this question in a couple of years, I think it's going to be a clear Tyrese answer. I'm not saying he's going to be as good as three-point shooter as Reggie ever, but I don't see Tyrese leaving Indy ever. And the players trust him. The coaches obviously trust him. He wants the ball in his hands at the end. But no, Reggie's my all-time favorite NBA player of all time, so I'll stay him still right now.
And I should have phrased that question better after I said I should have said taking the last shot, because I want Tyrese with the ball in his hands. Okay, I want Reggie coming off a screen, but I should have said last shot.
I think we're very similar on that then. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, when I was at my parents' house game one, and I'll give him credit, but yeah, I mean, my brother was like, if SGA misses the shot, Tyrese is making it. And like, you just had that feeling, and Tyrese, he just, you know, dribbled to that right side. He didn't look left, right. He knew he wanted that shot in his hand, and they kind of left him open a couple feet and bang.
Yep. Yeah. It was incredible. You could just feel Oklahoma City, like every like 30 seconds when the Pacers were an inch closer. I mean, that arena and atmosphere was getting tighter and tighter and tighter. And I got to say this, because I mean, they've caught flack on it, and it's went kind of viral, but I got to throw it out there again. So living up here in Fort Wayne, it was a minute to go. Pacers were coming down the court, down three, and it hits 11 o'clock, right? The local Channel 21, the ABC affiliate, the news comes on during the game. I'm screaming at the TV. I wake my wife up because I'm screaming at the TV like, what are you doing? Go back to the game. And it's highlighting what's going to be on the news. One thing's like showing like a Pacers watch party. And literally it's on for like 40 seconds. When it comes back, it's like 33 seconds left. The Pacers had scored to cut it to 110 to 109. I'm like, how? How does that happen in 2025?
I did not hear that. That's the first I've heard of that. I would have been throwing things and screaming choice words. Yeah.
Yep. I woke my wife up, and then she somehow fell back asleep. And then Tyrese hit the shot, and I woke her up again. And which she didn't care, but I apologize. Next morning, I'm like, that's three or four times during these playoffs alone, I woke you up at the Pacer.
That's amazing. So they just broke to the news, like what's coming on next. And then back to the game, like, just
somebody obviously didn't do the programming right, you know, for the game to go long in case it does. And yeah, it came up, and I mean, it was high. It was on Barstool tweeted about it. Awful Announcing on X tweeted about it. I mean, it got some national buzz on Friday morning for what they did Thursday night. And I will say they've been good sports about it. Like, they came out and said that was our fault, and some of their members were like, said they were horrified when it was going on. So yeah, but I had to throw that out there, because I couldn't believe what was going on. I'm like, I'm gonna miss the end of the game. Like, what? Like, you gotta be kidding me.
Like, it's crazy. I'm a huge Barstool fan. I follow so many of the individuals and the accounts, but I golfed 27 on Friday and then 18 Saturday, Sunday. So I was not on my phone a lot. So I didn't see that at all, but that's amazing.
I'll send you the link after we get off air here. It's funny. By the time it wasn't funny, I was furious. But but yeah, one more thing, and then we can wrap up our Pacer talk and move on to a few other things we got to cover. But you know, one thing I hope this finals run does, win or lose, is get the Pacers some national respect. Because even after game one, and I didn't see this, my dad was telling me this, I don't know what analysts were talking about it. They were already talking about next year, the favorites in the East. And the guy goes, well, the Celtics won't be because, you know, Tatum's down. He said Cleveland should still be good. The Knicks should still be good. And Milwaukee, assuming Giannis is still there. And he wasn't even mentioned the Pacers. And the other guy goes, well, how about the Pacers? He goes, oh, yeah, I get the Pacers, I guess. I was like, they just won game one of the NBA Finals. They're probably returning. They are returning a majority of the team next year. What else do they got to do to get some respect? They're going to be in the mix in the Eastern Conference. It just blows my mind. I
genuinely don't think they'll get it. I think, A, they thrive off being the underdog, so I don't think it's a big deal to, you know, the players. At least they say they thrive off of it, and clearly they do. But ESPN, the national media just – does not think they don't think the Pacers are good. Hey, he was hurt in this series. He was hurt in this series. Right. So I don't know what else they have to do to get that. And it is frustrating as a fan, but I do think the players thrive off of it at least. And it works. We'll keep being the underdog and keep showing up to the Eastern Conference Finals. And now the showing up in the NBA Championship.
And it might unfairly be an Indianapolis thing because, I mean, the Colts got the recognition with Peyton Manning, but I can make the argument that they didn't with Andrew Luck, and of course they probably haven't deserved it since Andrew Luck hasn't been playing, but I was gonna say, and now they don't get talked about. But
no, and what the city of Indianapolis does, you know, for sporting events, whether it's Final Four or concerts, I don't care what it is, I mean,
oh yeah, big events,
positive. Yep. Yeah, positive feedback from that. But you know, yeah, when it comes to the Pacers, it's just it's luck, or they're beating injured teams, or I don't know, but they deserve it, in my opinion.
Well, really, the state of Indiana's had it rolling the last few years. I mean, you had the Pacers in the finals right now. You had Notre Dame make the college football championship. You had Indiana football make the college football playoff. You have the Fever doing what they're doing with Caitlin Clark. You had Purdue in the national championship for men's basketball last year. I mean, it's They've had it rolling, and hopefully the Pacers can continue it going forward the rest of the series. Predictions for the two games this week.
I hate to say what I'm about to say, but I have been to every game three, and I have seen the Pacers lose every game three. So I could, we're going to flip it. I'm going to change my mind. Pacers will win tomorrow. On Wednesday, I'm sorry, and I can see them potentially losing game four. So I'm gonna see a Pacer game three victory finally.
There's only two games this week.
Yeah, Wednesday, yeah, Friday, then Monday, and I don't know what other days next week.
Man, two games in 7 days. That's crazy. No wonder the playoffs just take forever. sorry, I'm an old man sometimes. I think they split as well. I think I'll give you game three, Trav, just so you can see him win a game.
It would be amazing.
I think that's pretty fair to say they'll split.
Yep. I like the notion win game three, lose game four. I'd be shocked. I hate saying this. I'd be more shocked if they took both games than I would if they lost both games.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Because I, as much as I want the Pacers to win, I do think Oklahoma City is the better team. I think they're the best team in the league. So, I mean, more times than not, they're going to win a best of seven series. But hey, that's why you play it.
Yeah.
Play
it. Any final thoughts, Trav, on the Pacers?
No Pacers.
Pacers. Well said.
It's like I said, it's an exciting time to. For the state of Indiana, it's really exciting, you know, downtown. It's the atmosphere is crazy. Looking forward to Wednesday, Friday. Wednesday I'll be there at the stadium, and Friday I'll just be downtown watching it at a restaurant or a bar, and really looking forward to both of them.
Do you have a special lucky jersey you've been rocking this playoff run?
So that's a really funny question that you just said that. So I don't wear a lot of jerseys to games. I haven't worn one yet, so I try to change Pacer shirts and or hoodies or crew necks, whatever it might be, and I keep trying because I haven't seen a Pacer victory at the stadium yet. That's not true. I did see one, but I was wearing the Halliburton, you know, choke shirt. I actually had a friend make one online for me, and I had it to wear to game. What was that? Have been the Sunday night with after the Indy 500.
Game
so I wore
three,
it that
right?
Night. Yeah, game three, and yeah. Then I wore it. Game five, obviously they're at New York, but I just wore it at the restaurant or bar I was at, and so I'm done wearing that shirt this playoff. So I just keep kind of testing the waters. I wore the The NBA Finals won, the gray one for game one at my parents' house. So maybe I'll rock that one Wednesday. I don't know. It's usually a last minute decision, but no, no lucky ones yet, unfortunately.
Well, and hopefully they give you everybody their rally towel or a shirt on the seat or something, because they need the
I saw it. It's a gold one. It actually, I forget what it says, but I had it sent to me today and it looked really cool. So I'll definitely rock that being there.
Good. Good deal. Good deal. So, all right, J-Man, you want to educate Travis and I? Because
yes, sir.
We just talked a lot, so we need to get educated here.
On this day in a lot of British Open, which is now, it's now just the Open, right?
It's just the Open. It'll always be the British Open to me, but yeah, the Open. But you can hit me so with some of the recent ones, but maybe not like way back in the day. I won't
you don't want to guess who won in 1905?
Old Tom Boris?
James Braid.
Yeah, that was my second guess. Not really. Yeah. Never heard of James Braid.
1914 Pittsburgh Pirate shortstop Honus Wagner, second player to get 3,000 hits.
I still believe his baseball card's worth more than any other card, I believe. One specific one.
Yeah, worth significantly more than my life is what it is. on this day in, we're in the 40s. There's not great ones this week. The first Sunday night game in baseball history happened, where the San Francisco Giants lost to the Houston Colts 3-0.
Wouldn't have guessed that would have been the first matchup.
No. On this day, they must have just played the Open back in the early 1900s, because there have been none. It is June though, and they usually played in July, right?
They usually play the Open British, in July. Yeah, because U.S. Open's in June. Yep.
A lot of French Open. Who won the 1985 NBA championship?
Well, I think it was the Celtics.
No, they lost to this team.
Travis, you got a guess?
The Lakers.
The Lakers is correct. Yeah. Who was MVP?
Your turn, Tanner.
I'll go with 585. I'll go with Magic.
It was Kareem.
Yeah.
Wrong on both accounts there, T-Dog.
Yeah, I had 50-50 chance really on everything there. So,
on this day in 1993, who won the Stanley Cup final?
93 was the Canadiens. It's the last time a Canadian team has won it. Now Edmonton's got a chance here against Florida.
Who won the Stanley Cup on this day in 2001?
Colorado Avalanche.
It was. I was hoping you got that wrong so I could make money.
No.
On this day in 2003, who won the Stanley Cup final?
Is that the Devils?
It was. You're pretty good at this. Pretty good at this. This day in 2010, who won? This was a pretty easy one, I think.
Blackhawks.
It was the Blackhawks. Patrick Kane scored in the Cup winning goal.
Everybody around the whole state of Indiana jumped on that band. Well, not everybody. Most people did jump on that bandwagon. They're off now because they're terrible. Yeah.
Who won the 2013 French Open men's tennis tournament?
Nadal?
It was Nadal. Let's see here. You wouldn't get this, so I'm not going to give it to you. I wouldn't even get it, so I don't know. Anyway, I'll give it to you anyway. 2016 MLB draft, Philadelphia Phillies selected Mickey Moniak, number one overall. In the MLB draft.
The only Mickey besides Mantle I knew that played baseball is Mickey Morandini.
Well, Mickey Moniak plays for your Colorado Rockies, so it shows how much you paid.
Yeah, mine, yeah.
Your Colorado Rockies.
Even if I was an actual Rocky fan, I wouldn't admit it this year.
That's going to do it for On This Day this week.
All right. And On This Day is brought to you by, like it is every week, Mooney Wood Laser Crafts. That's right. Not just Mooney Wood Crafts anymore. Rebranded to Mooney Wood Laser Crafts. They are a veteran-owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana grassroots. They provide 100% hand-cut custom designs to fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of their recently completed projects by visiting them at Mooney Wood Laser Crafts on Instagram and on Facebook. And if you let them know the Tan and J-Man Show sent you, you get 15% off your first sign order. So go check our story out. I think I shared it last night on the Tan J-Man Show Instagram account. So Thad's really doing a lot of new work with laser machining. So yeah, making all kinds of things. It's pretty cool.
I was going to say, I thought I saw a video of the laser machine working on the gram.
Yeah. He's been doing things on tumblers and wallets and just testing all sort of things out. So yeah, he can do more than just the woodcraft part now. So get your sign orders in though, or whatever order, anything you want made, let Thad know and he'll take care of you. All right, fellas. Well, before we get into baseball talk, my blind ranking is baseball related, and this is for both of you this week. And knowing Travis was going to be on, Travis is a big Cincinnati Reds fan, like you said earlier. So I've picked 5 Cincinnati Reds for you guys to rank. Right. However you want. Travis can do it by career, or he can do it by his appreciation for these guys. Jay, man, you probably do it by career or dislike.
Hatred,
these guys.
Yes. I was thinking I was going to do it by hatred, yes.
However you guys want to do it, it's up to you, but you will rank them blindly without knowing who's coming next. And we are starting with Mr. Jay Bruce.
I'm going to go with how, like, me as a fan on this and on that one, might laugh, but number 2.
Okay.
I remember you being a big Jay Bruce guy. In fact, you even kind of modeled his little arm thing when you were about to hit there in the batter's box. I remember you doing that. So that makes sense. I'm going to do it by how much I dislike these players. Jay Bruce. How much did I dislike Jay Bruce? I'm going to do the cop out and put him at 3 because I don't know who else
on this
list.
I knew you were going to do that.
Yeah, kind of cop out.
I don't even have anything really against the Reds, but I got tired of Jay Bruce from a mutual friend of all of us, ours, on this podcast just because he talked about Jay Bruce all the time.
Yeah.
So, all right. Next up, Adam Dunn.
5.
You're not a Dunn fan, huh?
I mean, it was a I don't want to say what I want to say it was either a home run or a strikeout, but yeah, he struck out way more than those home runs. So no, Adam was great in left field. I shouldn't say great. He was good in left field when the mediocre Reds were out there trying to play baseball. But no, I was never a big Adam Dunn guy.
He was definitely a 3 true outcome. He was either strikeout, homer, or walk. That was pretty much his game. He would have thrived today now that they have the DH because he could have just hit because he was rough out there in left. He was kind of a Cub killer. I wouldn't say I disliked him a bunch. So I'm gonna put him at 4.
He hit 270 bombs as a Red. Next up, let's see here. Sean Casey.
I'm going to go with 4. Sean, I first baseman. I guess a little bit, I was younger during his prime as a Red. So I'll put him at 4. No hate towards him at all. I always remember that I forget which one it was, but there was a video game that I used to play where he had a catch going over like the tarp into the stands, like a foul ball that he caught it. And it was always like on the video game when you're loading in or whatever. But no, yeah, Sean Casey, I'll put it number 4.
I'm going to put him 5. I always like Sean Casey. Of course, he wasn't there when we were older, like into high school and stuff. Like he was there when we were in like elementary and middle school. So I didn't dislike him, and he seems like a pretty nice guy. I mean, his nickname was the mayor because he talked to everyone, at first base. So, no hatred toward Sean Casey.
Brandon Phillips.
1.
Well, Nate, that's his all time favorite baseball players. But for me, I'm saving number 1 for what I hope is number 1, but, Brandon Phillips would be number 3 for me.
You're not getting the one you think you are, Krabs. Sorry.
I'll talk about him when it comes then.
I was assuming Votto, but obviously it's not going to be Votto. That's my thought anyway. Maybe it is. Phillips, didn't like him. Good player. That's all. That's where I'll leave it at.
And last, Todd Frazier.
The Todd Father.
Man, you got me. CB number five.
I
right
did.
Now.
I'm sorry.
You got me. I should have known this because when I watched you and your dad, you didn't give him Reggie Miller, and who's my second all-time favorite athlete. And my all-time favorite athlete, any sport, obviously, Ken Griffey Jr. I was praying he was number one, but Frazier, I guess I have to put one, but he would be five.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
I'm good with two for him. Okay. There was a couple guys on this list that also played for the White Sox, so that enhanced my hatred with Todd Frazier and Adam Dunn.
And Frazier had that moment in Cincinnati, home run derby,
yes,
camera shaking, all that. So,
yeah, he had his walk up song was "Fly Me to the Moon." I remember Frank Sinatra, but wasn't a big Todd Frazier fan, mainly because that was like the last time the Reds were like really consistently good for those 3 years that they were pretty good, and maybe that's probably why I disliked him most. If he played for him like in 2018, I don't think I'd even remember. I'd remember him, but
He was, I don't remember where he went right away. Was it, White Sox or was it the Yankees when he left? I forget where he went right away, but
I don't remember.
I remember specifically just when he was
White
the
Sox
Red,
and Yankees.
There was a lot, yeah, I just didn't like him, especially when he became an opponent.
Yeah. Yeah. I knew Griffey'd be your one, so I couldn't put him on the list.
I didn't even think about Griffey.
I could have put Griffey and Votto on the list together, but I wasn't going to put only one of them. I also thought Barry Larkin, but I like to go a little off the grid when it comes to these lists and make people really, really think. So.
Yeah, I was hoping one you're going to Griffey, Votto, or maybe throw in like a Larkin or Johnny Bench or something, but that's all right.
And I couldn't. I'm sorry, I couldn't really think of pitchers off the top of my head like during our lifetime.
Johnny Cueto.
Yeah, Cueto, Volquez. I mean, Chapman for reliever.
Homer Bailey.
They had that run with, Sonny Gray. And then I really can't even think of his name. Who's the pitcher who's not even in the league right now? Bauer. He was.
Oh, Trevor Bauer.
Very into the Reds. Yeah. Josh, there's one specific player I'm thinking of. You have tweeted this since we were younger. There's one player. I'll see if you can get if we're on the same page here. He's a Cub killer. He at Chicago specifically, he would hit like 180 all season, and I feel like he hit like 400 at Chicago.
Man, that doesn't narrow it down as much as it probably should.
It wasn't like Scooter Gennett, was it?
No, Scooter had that one really good year where he hit like 30 bombs. I can't even think.
All right, so there's two that come to mind. One of them, I feel like it was, Drew Stubbs. I feel like that you,
that's a good one. He had a three homer game at Wrigley. I remember that. Yeah.
And then for some reason, it always felt like Billy Hamilton for the Cubs at Wrigley.
He did that. Good call on both. Billy Hamilton couldn't hit anything, but he'd come to Wrigley and he'd hit a leadoff homer against John Lester. You're like, what in the heck is happening? A guy on their current roster. My brain is not working at full capacity, but I'm gonna go look it up right now. But a guy that has absolutely killed him since he's been up, and he's only been up for like 3 years now. TJ Friedl just kills him. Yeah. I hate seeing him up.
Yeah, he plays center, leads off, and he's had a heck of a year for this mediocre Reds team so far. What at the beginning of the year I thought was going to be a really good ball club. I mean, I was really excited for Matt McClain to come back. It was horrible losing him last year, and he's been bad. He had a big home run yesterday to take the lead against Arizona for the sweep, but no, he's been bad. They've all been essentially pretty bad.
Yeah, they did have a nice sweep yesterday. They're playing better baseball here. Mm-hmm. But Hunter Green is getting a second opinion. He's hurt again, which he's been oft injured. So they obviously really need him to be good. But the pitching staff's really good. They just haven't really hit, which is weird because they have a pretty good lineup, honestly.
I'll be honest. A lot of my focus right now has been the Pacers. So there's some stats I can't even tell you, but I do remember the beginning of the year the Reds were losing games 1-0. I think they had like 5 or 6 0-1 games in the first like month or something very similar to that. So their bats were killing them and still kind of are. They're a little bit.
They had a series. I think it was against Texas in April where. They gave up 3 runs the entire series and lost 2-3 or something like that.
Yeah.
was like, yeah, they lost 1-0 each of the final two games of the series. But I mean, they have a superstar level talent. Nelly De La Cruz, I think he's been very inconsistent, especially this year. But he hit a homer at Wrigley where he hit 116 miles an hour right down the line. And you're like, why can't he do this every single time he comes up? But, something seems missing, but I honestly still think, and I even texted this to your brother, because your brother doesn't leave me alone when the Cubs are at the plane. which I love it. I've especially liked it this year because the Cubs, you know, took 2 of 3 twice, which it hasn't been the case for like 3 years now. I even said, like, I still view the Reds as the biggest threat to this Cubs team in the division, even though they're 7.5 back now. I just think the pitching's too good and they have too good of an offense to continue to struggle. That I don't believe in the Cardinals. I know they've done it for however many games they've played, 60 games, 65 games. Brewers are still, you know, a little scary, but I still view the Reds as the second most talented team in the division. And I do not want them to get hot.
Yeah. Jamie,
I would love it.
I got to pose this question to you real quick. Is your like nightmare scenario, like of whatever, like your worst nightmare scenario in baseball, would it be like the White Sox have already clinched the AL and the Reds and Cardinals are playing for the NL?
That'd be brutal. Yeah. That'd be a lot like an Indianapolis Colts Chicago Bears Super Bowl, which I've lived through one of those. That wouldn't be fun for me. I'll be honest with you. I might root for the Cardinals. I might do it.
I don't know. I feel like you're saying that just because Travis is on here. Like every other week, you won't say anything nice about the Cardinals, like anything close.
I know. Reds are up 2-0 tonight against Cleveland. So maybe.
You got family who's Cardinals. Think about that.
I don't though. I mean, I do, but Cardinals. I forgot about him. Yeah. Wouldn't be fun.
That's what I'm saying. You got family, yeah.
But I got Andrew Eiler, man.
And Nate Watry. And Travis Watry.
And Nate and Travis Watry.
I'm not annoying. I'm not annoying like Nate is the end. I remember you're in Nate's Twitter wars you guys used to have.
Oh, I missed those.
Those were fantastic.
I don't want to live through it. I'll be honest with you. I've watched the Cubs this entire episode. Have you even noticed?
No.
No, I'm very.
You're
tired.
Good at that. You're good at that.
You're up 1-0. Kyle Tucker took.
Yeah, I should have known when you made your comment about your brain not.
Yeah.
All there, which I could have went down many.
I'll be honest.
I didn't take it, but
I tuned out a lot when we were talking NBA finals. So if I said anything weird, I apologize.
I can tell you let us talk about it for a long time. I figured something was going on. Yeah. And you spoke too soon. Cleveland
just
scored.
Oh, good. The J-Man's curse is very real. So
it is.
We've known. So
well, I need to do this read real quick. The blind ranking segment is brought to you by, like as every week, Performer Print 2 Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for your next trade show, company picnic, or sales meeting, Performer Print 2 Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs. So you need to look no further. Let them be your one source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815. And before we get to the birdie or bogey question, J-Man, which you can repeat since Travis wasn't here at the start when he said it, we got the U.S. Open going on for golf, the third major of the year. Golf's toughest test, usually, like we said at the opening of the pod. USGA likes to have the winning score be about even or so. So who are we liking, boys? Who are we liking to win the U.S. Open?
I think now that Rory's won, that I've decided in majors that I'm going to choose somebody else to
curse. All right. Wow. And this is a story.
I think it's going to be Bryson. He is playing this week, right? I assume.
Yeah, he's the defending. Okay. He's the defending U.S. Open champion. Okay. He won it last year.
So this will be the J-Man's book of prediction of the week. Bryson DeChambeau will win the U.S. Open. And J-Man's book of prediction of the week brought to you by the guy sitting to my left. Nope, my right. I'm so the guy who's usually not here that's on the show, Travis Watchman.
Let him do his own read, J-Man. You are choking this away.
I am the J Fans booking guy, Travis Watrine, the owner of the Travis Watrine Agency, specializing in all insurance needs.
There you go.
We appreciate you've been our longest standing sponsor for many years, and we appreciate the support, Trav.
Absolutely. Yeah, man. I remember when this podcast started, and you and I were talking about it. And I don't always get to listen live, but it's very rare if I don't at least listen, you know, that later that night or the next day or two. I've always been a big fan.
We appreciate it. Who are you taking to win the Open?
I've always been a Bryson fan.
Me too.
Even during his robot invention days, even during his live days. I don't know. I think what he's done is great with his golf game. I won't steal J-Man's there. I'm not the biggest fan of this person I'm about to say, but I think this is the type of tournament set up for Rahm to win.
I took mine.
I won't take him either then. So
no, it's go ahead. Go ahead. I'll choose somebody else. I'll choose somebody
else. I'd like to see X win. I'd like to see Shoffley win. I mean, I think he won what three or four years ago or so, but it's going to be a big name. That's my answer.
You know, you can give me crap. I like a lot of the guys on the live. I just do. And I don't think anybody, okay, besides Scottie Scheffler, nobody's playing better golf than Joaquin Niemann this year. He was my pick for the PGA Championship. I'm sticking with him for the U.S. Open. So,
I read an article. I think it was a good buddy of, he's been on the show, Jason Sobel. We were talking, and it's because of an article he wrote. And they, whoever they are, you know, they say that he is, outside of Scotty, they say he's like one of the best golfers in the world. And I know his tournament wins don't always show it, but he's capable of winning anything. And it's funny you just said that name. I was just talking about him with Jason a couple weeks ago, but I like that pick. I like that pick.
Yeah. Yesterday was his fourth win on live this year. I mean, I know they don't have their fields aren't as big as the PGA Tour fields, but they're still pretty top heavy. So that's still pretty impressive. So, J-Man, hit us with that birdie or bogey question one more time.
There is one quarterback in the NFL to have a passer rating of 100 or better in each of the past three seasons. Can you name that quarterback?
Yeah, I'll take a stab at it. I'm going Jared Goff.
Travis?
I was hoping you were going to forget me. Let's go with Matthew Stafford.
It is Tua Tagovailoa.
Oh my gosh. You could have gave me 10 quarterbacks. I wouldn't guess them.
Yeah.
I don't think we've ever had Dolphin answer, birdie or bogey. I guess
there's never anything good with the Miami Dolphins that I could even possibly have an answer for. So,
well, just like my golf game over the weekend, give me another bogey.
Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man show. Thanks, Trav, for joining us tonight to talk some Indiana Pacers. Have a good time at Game 3 on Wednesday. Happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there as well. So we'll be back at it next Monday with another episode. Have a fantastic week, everybody.
Thank you.